freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Presented by Carter, Volkswagen, and Ballard.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports Station.
And Brooke Ward.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
That's a fire!
We'll be there for that entire week. That's going to be pretty fun. Brock and I, we've already had our many years down there. Mm-hmm. Is where we really first bonded, where I first started to respect Brock as a professional athlete after watching him work out, where we were taken to be a beautiful couple at a sushi restaurant. We've had a lot of interesting adventures in Phoenix and Scottsdale and Peoria over the years.
I got pulled over, and they thought Kyle Brown was my son.
Kyle's been pulled over with both of us driving, which is odd. Both of us got out of our tickets down there, which was impressive. Right. So nice job by us.
Good talk.
Justin and I had a really good time last year as I introduced him to things like Culver's and some of the other fun adventures in Scottsdale, Peoria, etc. And Maura's going to join us this year. So all four of us will be together. Maura, will you eat a walleye fish sandwich from Culver's?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
Yeah.
Sound excited about it.
Not picky. Well,
you don't need to be picky. I mean, I'm offering you like the world's greatest
sandwich. You keep talking it up. I can't imagine.
I am offering you a chance to eat the greatest fast food item I've ever had.
No, you don't sound like a Progressive commercial at all. No, seriously. You really, really don't.
I am offering you a chance of a lifetime to try a Culver's walleye fish sandwich, and you sound
Do we
only
have to have dinner at 4 p.m.
All right. No.
Yes.
I mean, yes. While you're in Arizona, that's part
do
of the
Do we need to plan our day around a nap? Yes, you do.
Yeah, kind of. A little bit.
I noticed there weren't any refreshments, so I'm just going to leave a couple of snackies.
Folks, the line's a shambles. Let's
I can see it at Culver's right now.
Guys, this line's in shambles. Let's clean it up over here.
We only get to do this once a year. Would you please?
Trying to get her the greatest fish sandwich and then take a nap.
Which cash register are you people using, left or right? Make a choice, right? All right. Scott Servais, speaking of dad energy, was in yesterday, and it was nice to kind of see him, hear from him. He was on with Wyman and Bob talking through his season that was and the season that will be. Here he is talking about the shift.
We need more action in our game. There's not enough action. There's the three true outcomes. It's a walk, it's a strikeout, it's a homer. Mm-hmm. We need to let players who are very athletic, can run, can play defense, can do a lot of things. We've got to expose fan bases to more of those things. That's what fans want to see. They want to see action. The no shift is going to create higher batting average, obviously. It's the lowest batting average probably in, 30, 40 years, what we just went through last year. I think league average is like 242, 243. That's not right. We need guys on base. So the shift will help that. There also is going to be more emphasis put on the running game. You'll see more attempted stolen bases. You're going to see more action on the field, which I think is a good thing.
And, you know, he played a cut last hour. He's not blind. Jerry's not blind. John Stanton's not blind. The difference in decision makers in baseball aren't blind. You've got to get this young fan base. That's where your hook's got to be. Mm-hmm. I will say this about the four major sports. I think baseball is doing a pretty darn good job. You said just a couple weeks, pitchers and catchers report. I'm like, what? It just feels like the season ended. And talking to Jerry, maybe it's because we're connected to Jerry every Thursday, but it's like, gosh, did the season really ever end? I mean, it ends now in November, and then it's right into GM meetings, and then it's winter meetings, and then all these free agents, and then these trades. And, you know, baseball is taking a page out of the NFL's book.
Yeah, trying to be 12 months a
12
year.
12 months a year.
Yeah, I mean, now they also have, like, you know, a full month of spring training where you're like a month and a half. Like, it's February 1st. They're not going to play games for 2 months, but you're still
that's not true. And we're there February
27th.
Spring
training games in a month.
Yeah, spring training games.
No, real games
to play
in 2 months. I mean,
so I know, but that starts to build some excitement. You get fans around it, and they get to hear the crack of the bat, as Aaron Goldsmith said last week. And this game needs to get young. They need more action. They need the Julio Rodriguez's and the Tatis's and these amazing athletes to showcase what they can do.
Well, you talk youth, and the Mariners certainly have one of those guys in Jared Kelnick that is supposed to be on that list. He's going to turn 23 this year. So how young is he? You know, he's still very young. Let's say that. I still believe he is very young, but he's now been with the Mariners. This will be his third season trying to be in the big leagues with the Mariners. And so he's had kind of an interesting road.
You know, it's been rocky for Jared at times. I thought he made some really nice strides, and we brought him up right at the end of the season. I thought the quality of his at-bats improved a ton. Got some big hits. He hit some balls hard. Hopefully he builds on that throughout the offseason. I know he has I don't know if there's anybody that works any harder than Jared Kelnick, but, you know, you got to work on the right things. And I think that's what we're starting to see a little bit shift there, is understanding where his deficiencies lie, whether it's he's got to be able to track and handle more breaking balls, off-speed pitches. So I'm going to focus on that and make sure without losing your strength. Yeah. I think that's a big part of it, too. But he's a young player. I think people lose track of that.
Yeah.
You know, Julio's young, and it happened for Julio much easier than it has for Jared. But he's a young player. He's got a ton of upside. I still have my eggs in the Jared Kelnick basket. I do believe in him. He's going to be a big part of our future. I'd love to see him come out and tear the cover off the ball in spring training and get off to a great start. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
So he says he's still putting eggs in Kelnick's basket. He's not the only one. I mean, regardless of how you feel about this offseason, whether you're angry at the Mariners for not doing more, or like me, you feel like they did a lot to improve their club. And when, by the way, when you talk to Scott, you can't help but understand that he believes they did a lot to help their club and that there's a lot of confidence. And you'll hear that from Jerry and everybody else, I think, today. But regardless of how you feel, they have made a bit of a bet on Jared Kelnick.
Mm.
At least it feels that way.
I was asking you something off the air this morning.
Mm.
And I mean, you had a good answer for it, but it is a bit of a debate. Sure, Jared Kelnick is young, which I am so sick of hearing at this point.
Thank you, Maureen.
Please don't tell me he's young anymore. But all that means is that he still has time in his career. Like, he may still have time in his career to figure it out, but does he still have time with the Mariners? Like, are we still going to be saying this next year?
No.
He's young, but he's had these chances for a while
now. This is his third trip around the Mariners globe. Like, it's time to figure it out this year. And I'll say this, if they could have found a reasonable deal for Ryan Reynolds and Jared Kelnick was in it, I don't think we'd be talking about Jared Kelnick. You know, I think he was on the trading block. I think he was a piece that they were willing for the right guy to
move. Well, there's a difference between, yes, they were willing to move on and he was on the trading block. Those are two very different terms.
They are.
He was not on the trading block. Would they have dealt him to get a Brian Reynolds? Yes.
Sorry,
but I think
Brian.
Those two things are incredibly different. I don't think they've been looking to trade Jared Kelnick. But I do think they were willing to give him
I think that's fair.
For a spectacular player that they covet. That's a major
fair.
Difference.
Now, I will also say this. Like Maureen, I, too, can't stand the word young. And, in fact, Maura, years ago, one of my first hot takes, maybe my first ever, the first iteration of the Brock and Salk show, it's like, you know, Salk's taking, you know, all these hot takes. He's a hot take guy. You know, maybe I can be a good teammate. Maybe every once in a while, why don't you step up instead of trying to just be Mr. Nice Guy all the time? So do you remember one of my first hot takes?
The Mariners shouldn't play golf on their off days.
That was hot. No, it was then D coordinator Nick Holt talking about how young. And every year, Steve Sarkisian's D coordinator Nick Holt say, "Oh, we're just young, and we're just young." I'm done with young. Young in college football, flush it down the toilet.
Agreed.
I'm done with it.
Yes.
It's a little different in baseball.
Well, it's
though
a lot
Scott,
different.
Scott, well, not a lot different because Scott references different. It there. Your superstars, your difference makers, typically hit young. It didn't take long to figure out Vlad Guerrero could play. It didn't take long to figure out Fernando Tatis could play. It didn't take long to figure out Julio Rodriguez could play.
Right, and it's fair to say that Jared Kelnick may not be in that stratosphere, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to turn into a good Major League Baseball player. And
that's
he is
fair.
Young. He is yet to play a game. He's not even turned 23 yet. If he was a college baseball player, he'd still be in college and just coming into the draft, where he would then spend some time in the minor leagues and then come to you in the majors in 2 years. So I'm not telling you he's going to succeed. I don't know that. He's got something going on in his head seems to be preventing him from having success. But why is it important to talk about him being young? It's not about the physical gifts. It's about figuring it out mentally. And when do you start to figure it out mentally? As you get older.
Some
is there
do.
A difference?
Not everybody.
I understand that. Not everybody does.
Nope.
But I'm going to give a 23-year-old a better chance than a 21-year-old with more life experience and as he continues to go through the humbling process. So I understand the frustration.
He's got one more year here. He's got one more year. When Maura says, you know, how much time, in my opinion, I may be wrong, but I think he's got one more year. Mm. He's got this spring training. He's got a platoon in left field. They're going to try to set him up for as much success as possible. Mm-hmm. They're not going to try to give him the heavy lifting because he has shown the last couple years a level of fragility between the ears when it comes to expectation. So they will do all they can to set the table appropriately for him. And if it doesn't work this year, Salk, I don't think you get a fourth turn at it.
Yeah, it would. I don't know that. I don't know either way yet. I think that's a fair argument to make. You guys might be right about that. On the other hand, if this year, if he spends the year in the minors, he's still your property,
yeah.
Right? I mean, like, you could still be an asset for you. What if he figures it out at 24 instead of 23? You want to pass on?
How do you figure that out? You're going to keep giving him significant time?
Probably not. I would agree with that. If he ends up figuring it out after this year, it won't be because you give him a spot. Mm. It's because something else happens. Somebody gets hurt. He gets called up. He slides into it. But you know what? That doesn't mean it can't happen that way.
Work with Cal Raleigh.
Yeah, I that's exactly right. Who, by the way, is like 4 years older than Kelnick. So, look, I know you guys don't want to hear that he's young. I know it's frustrating. I know baseball takes patience. I know it drives everybody absolutely bonkers when things don't happen on their timeline. But that's the game. That's baseball. It's not college football.
It is.
It's not the NFL. It is its own entity. And you're right. Kelnick probably now isn't going to be a Julio Rodriguez. That's probably true at this point. He's not going to be a superstar. Could it be an all-star? Could it be a contributing everyday major league hitter that makes a difference for your team? Yeah. I still absolutely think he can.
Figure it out between his ears, I think, more than anything else.
I think that's 100% true.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, it is just about time. We are into February, which means spring training starts this month. Yeah, that puts me in a pretty good mood. I'm not going to lie. I'm excited about where this team is at, the Mariners, and you're going to be hearing from them over the next few days. Yesterday, Scott Service was in talking with Wyman and Bob, and you know, he's excited certainly about this year and what his young group of players is capable of.
It's been fun to see the development of our young players and kind of how this whole thing has played out. You know, we took a major step back a few years ago, understanding that we were going to go through a little pain there for a while to get, hopefully get to the point we're at right now where we did end the drought. We busted through. We've made it into the playoffs. Now I got to take the next step, but I'm so proud of the group. I love going to work every day with the group that we have and knowing that we're going to have the core of our group together for quite some time. When they're all young like that, you control them for a while, and hopefully we can control these guys for, you know, the majority of their careers as we move forward together. They're really good players. They care. They're focused on getting better, and I think that's what all great athletes do. It doesn't matter. They just focus on getting better.
Yeah, I think you can't ignore what happened last year. It is something for them to build on. It doesn't promise them anything this year. Mm. It doesn't mean they're going to play as well. They're going to need to take steps forward. But I think that there is a lot of value in what occurred over the course of last season.
I think we are a market that can be a little parochial at times, and we do love our own. I've said to you numerous times over this football season, and watching these Eagles and Niners, that there's nothing better than building a bully. When you have a football team that imposes its physical will, there's just something special about that. When it comes to, I think, our pro teams here in town, when they're homegrown talent, it's just different. When it's Sue Bird and Lauren Jackson and they've been lifers with the Storm and Breonna Stewart, it's just different. When it's Sean and Gary with the Sonics, it's just different. When it was A-Rod and Edgar and Griffey with the Mariners, it's just different. And now to have a Mariners team with a Cal and a Julio and a Logan and a George and your own young pieces and many of them that came up together in the process, it just makes it different and I think that much more enjoyable.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, we saw this about a year ago, and now it's true once again. Tom Brady has retired from the NFL.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point.
Good morning.
Right away.
Hello.
I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first. So I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
Well, emotional.
Yeah. Why is he doing that? Like, it's funny. He's like doing that outside. He's like, I was in the middle of my run. I thought I would just drop a retirement video. The wind blowing in the background.
22 years. I'm pretty confident. Kind of like Joe DiMaggio's hit record. Some things have stood the test of time. They say records are made to be broken. But 22 years, 15 Pro Bowls, 7-time Super Bowl champ. Don't think I'm going to see that in my lifetime.
How is it possible he only had 15 Pro Bowls? Like, what happened? I know one of those years he was hurt. What happened in the other years? what world did they decide Tom Brady wasn't worthy of being in the Pro Bowl during those years also?
That was a year like this year. You know, you got Tyler Huntley, and you got Jared Goff. You
right.
Got some, yeah, real legit Pro
Yeah,
Bowlers.
Of course. Well, what does it mean for the Seahawks? Maybe nothing, but it is another quarterback that in likelihood now is not going to be available for one of the quarterback needy teams. So does it increase Geno Smith's value? Yeah, I think it might. Now, Aaron Rodgers is probably going to be out there. He spoke yesterday about his future.
It sounds like there's already conversations going on that aren't involving me, which are interesting. Mm. Honestly, I've been insulated to a lot of that. Like I said, I was in Nashville, and then I'll be up here, you know, this week playing in the tournament. So I'm not a part of those conversations right now. When I make up my mind one way or another, then you guys and Packers, not in that order, but and everybody else will know at some point.
Yeah, to be fair to poor Aaron, I mean, he's been in Nashville. He's been changing his personality. He's had a lot to go with his new girlfriend, who's 26 years old. She's got him busy. So I can see why he hasn't had time to talk to the Packers about his future. I wonder where he learned that.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
We got a new coach in Denver. So for all of us Seahawks fans that still have a rooting interest in what's going on in the Mile High City, well, you're going to be watching a lot of Sean Payton. What will he do next year to try to fix the Denver Broncos? Jeff Darlington with more.
I'm a little surprised from the standpoint. I didn't necessarily come into this hiring season thinking that the Broncos, or I mean, knowing that the Broncos were not necessarily the top team on Payton's list. I mean, he had different visions, I think. I think the Chargers was a team that if Staley had gotten fired where he would have ended up. I thought Arizona would be in play. Peyton was looking for kind of warm weather stuff, and instead it ends up in Denver. But look, money talks, and that ownership group was also willing to give up, you know, give him the money, but also give up the compensation that it'd take to get him in the building.
Yeah, I think ultimately that's very similar to a lot of the folks I talked to at Fox and other places that, yeah, I think there was a level of surprise. But ultimately, $90 million over 5 years and not wanting to sit out a second cycle, and then all of a sudden you're still going to be encumbered with draft capital, and it was going to make it tough. But for Denver to say, yep, we need you and we want you and we'll give up a first-rounder. And you've seen, right, the tweets with the amount of draft compensation and players they've given up for Russell and Sean Payton.
It's crazy.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. Hope it works. Or maybe not. That's everything you need to know. We do that quarter past every hour here on the new Brock and Salk show. So, Brock, you were giving me a lot of credit for my epic polling skills yesterday. I appreciate that. I do think it's weird that the poll that you told me not to do.
Like, he might have been being facetious.
Well, I'm just saying.
Is that a big enough word, Brock?
Well done, Maura.
Brock was so kind when he offered so generously.
The plethora of big words that we have used here and some of the alliteration has been phenomenal. I still don't know the difference between a metaphor and a simile.
You don't?
I'm waiting for Salk to share that with me today after his book reading, sponsored by Progressive last night.
You don't know the difference between a metaphor and a simile?
I do.
Okay. I hope so. Because then we really are going to have to talk to your 10th grade English teacher. That's
understood.
That's something you should know. Well, I'm just saying my poll that you didn't retweet had more votes than the poll that you did. I don't really know what you're worth. But you had a poll that was clicked on more times than either of my two polls together or combined. So let's talk about it. Simple question. You want to see if people want to engage on this on the phone lines?
Yeah, we don't get to talk to the people nearly enough.
No.
But
we got time because no KJ today, right? So we've got a little time. 866-979-3776. This was Brock's poll. Seattle sports fans, you can only pick one. UW wins a football title. Did you mean like a national title?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought we were dealing in reality. Sonics return. Mariners win a World Series. Seahawks win another Super Bowl. What would you choose? You can have any one of those four things come true. UW wins a football title, Sonics return, Mariners win the World Series, or the Seahawks win another Super Bowl. It's as simple a question as you could get. What would you prefer? Tell us why. 866-979-3776. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports Station.
All right, Seattle sports fans, Brock's got a question for you. He just wants to know what you're looking forward to most. You can only pick one. What do you need to have happen? Do you need the Sonics to come back? Do you need the Seahawks to win another Super Bowl and recreate the magic that is now going to be a full decade old? Do you need the Mariners to win a World Series, paying off decades of frustration, or is it another UW football title? Would this one be? This one couldn't be split. That doesn't happen anymore, right? So it'd have to be
done?
Just a what?
Are you done?
I don't think that one's reasonable. I don't think it's possible.
Sorry. They made it to the semifinal,
and they
five years ago?
And they were not close.
Yes, they were.
No, they weren't. I was
If Browning doesn't throw a pick,
I was
at
there.
The end of the first half, that game goes to the fourth quarter.
I was there.
What?
They were not in the same world as Alabama.
Okay, well, if they weren't close, then when was the last time the Mariners were close? Never.
But the Mariners have an opportunity to get close because they play baseball. This is not a shot at UW. I don't think
it is.
It's not.
It is.
I only think there are five or six teams total that will ever win another college football championship.
All right.
Alabama, Clemson. Maybe Georgia, USC, Ohio State, Michigan, maybe Florida if they ever get it turned around, or Auburn, LSU. All right, so there's like 9 or 10 teams. Mm-hmm. But I don't this is not a shot. I promise you it's not a shot at UW. I don't think that anyone outside of that top 10.
No, I think there's a lot of people that feel that same way.
So I don't think that's a unique feeling. I think that those are the only teams that will win for like the next 25 years.
I don't want to taint the callers.
Okay.
I don't want to bias.
You just don't want to say anything.
I don't want to bias the callers with how the 20,400 people responded on the Twitter poll, because I'm curious if they will mirror what, because there's a runaway winner on this poll.
I voted, by the way, for the runaway winner. Yes.
Of course you did.
206, I'm sorry, I almost gave out my phone number. That would have been great. I almost gave out my cell phone number right there on the air.
Do you know that DMAC does that? Do you know the DMAC, or our sister station afternoon host, Afternoon Drive, literally gives the audience his cell phone?
Just if you want to call me, here you go. Yeah,
yes.
Well, you know how when we have somebody late, you have to sing a song? That used to be our old Top 40 morning show. When you were late, we
had to give out your phone number.
Whoa.
Wow. All right, 866-979-3776. Let's go with Billy, who's in Yakima. What's going on, Billy?
What's going on, Billy?
Oh, not much. I thank you for the poll. But I think the Sonics Sonics would be number one, and the Seahawks winning another title would be number two. Wow. I got to go to one of the games in 79 when they won their title.
Mm.
All right, Billy. Well, actually, you're on the lower end of that. I appreciate that. You're as far as this poll goes and these results, that was the minority. I would say I thought that the Sonics returning would be number one.
Really?
Yeah, I really did.
You think more people would rather have the Sonics come back than see the Mariners win a World Series?
Well, I just thought that there was a nostalgia. I thought, you know, let's be this four-horse town again. Let's get all of them back. Let's, as many special memories as there were, and there were, and as many amazing basketball players that have come through the different generations in this market, I thought that would be one, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I think the issue there, and I'll try to hit on a bunch of these calls, I'm trying to think through why that would be. I think there's still bitterness from some folks, and I think that there's also some frustration with what the NBA product has become, so much so that not that people don't want the Sonics back, but it's not as big a priority because of the frustration with the product and what that looks like right now during a regular season. And if you're an NBA fan, you're kind of getting what you want regardless of whether or not you have a team here. To some people, you're getting the big national games, which is where the big storylines are in the NBA. You're not getting it locally. And I'm not saying anybody wouldn't want to have the Sonics back, but trying to figure out why they would have finished nearly, what, half of the Mariners in your polling here, roughly half of the people who said they wanted the Mariners to win a World Series said they wanted the Sonics to return. I also think some of that probably comes from just, you know, where we're at right now with the Mariners and the excitement being, you know, built off last year and Julio and all of that. So 866-979-3776, Johnson, Spokane. Hi, John. Good morning.
Good morning. I would actually have to say the Mariners absolutely, and large part of that is because they've been ingrained in my DNA since I was five. And when they first came into the league, I remember watching my first baseball game. I remember trying out for them when I was 21, an open tryout. I worked for them in 2001. When I was in high school, when they couldn't give tickets away, they'd show up at our high school and drop off tickets to get people in the crowd. And then obviously 95. So for me, it would absolutely be in the Mariners. Seeing how they've never been to one either.
Yep, I think that's a big one. Thank you, John. Listen over there in Spokane. I think you nail it right there. The Sonics won in 79. The Sonics played Jordan and the Bulls in the championships. The Sonics were perennially right there in the Western Conference Finals year after year. The Seahawks have been to it three times. They've won it. Were there in 05. You know, really should have had back-to-back titles, have known what that tastes like. The Huskies won it in 91. Yeah, they made it to the semifinal. You could say they weren't close, whatever. They're still in the national semifinal just in 2016. The Mariners haven't ever been there and haven't been particularly close. So to just get to a World Series and then ultimately to envision raising that trophy and getting it done – yeah, I think there's just
I wonder if there's also a sense from a lot of folks that a Sonics return is inevitable, right? You're just waiting on a team to be available. The arena's ready. The league is happy to bring a team here. You're just waiting on either the announcement that a team is going to move or the announcement that they're going to have an expansion. So maybe some of the inevitability of it is like, well, look, I know that's going to happen. There's no inevitability to the Mariners. That's what makes it so much fun.
I think whenever you quote poison, it's a big deal. Yeah. And I think you're right. I think the wound heals, but that scar, oh, that scar remains.
Roger's our buddy in Puyallup. Good morning, Roger. How are you?
Nothing. You gave me nothing.
No, I've given you props. No, Brent Michaels, CC DeVille, Ricky Rocket, Bobby Dahl.
You gave me nothing. Go ahead, Roger.
I'm supporting your poison. I love when you drop hairbands on me.
Hello, Roger.
Good morning, guys.
What say you?
Good morning. Great show.
Thank you,
pal. What do you want?
This isn't even close. It's laughable. Because championships are a one-and-done memory, then you're nostalgic. But give me the Sonics coming back. And if you're telling me I can take my son and my grandsons to 41 NBA games a year for forever, not even close the gap between one and two. Sonics coming back.
That's a good argument. I absolutely buy that. There's a lot to that, Brock.
There is. I would say, Roger, that, yeah, I totally agree with that. But this regular season product, Roger, isn't what you and I grew up with. Mm. It isn't these guys playing hard. It's not Jordan. It's now about load management. And you can bring your son to go watch the Warriors, and you may not have Steph Curry. And, oh, my gosh, LeBron is coming to town. And, you know, when I won way back when in 95, the Gatorade National Player of the Year, you know, it was a really big deal to go to the Sonics game. We ate at the Lobster House on the water. Biggest, best meal of my life at that point. Got to invite all these friends. And then me and my mom and dad, we got to sit like courtside for the Sonics game. And they played the then Washington Bullets and Manute Bol. Remember Manute Bol?
Manute Bol.
And his son Bol Bol now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll just never forget that. But in those days, and I tell you that story, not to humble brag, but it was more so because guys in that era played and the regular season meant something. And these guys laid it on the line. And Detlef Schrempf, who just turned 60, a load management. Gary Payton, Sean, load management.
I saw Detlef Schrempf the other day. He was at the Kraken game when we were there talking and speaking. Looked great.
Looks good.
Yeah, he doesn't need any load management. He's just fine. 866-979-3776. Roger's in Tacoma. Good morning, Roger.
Oh, nice.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Roger. What do you want, buddy?
Sorry, Roger, you didn't talk for a second there. I thought it was like that day you came in studio and were unable to speak.
Oh, it's still taking shots. Oh, whatever. Okay, so I'm going to give it to you. thank you. Thank you very much.
I love you, Roger. What you got, buddy?
No, you know what? I used to love you, but now I hear you're always emailing Brock. Brock's always like, oh, our friend Roger in Tacoma emailed me the other day. And I'm like, I feel a little left out. I'm not going to lie. Like, what happened,
Well, don't
man?
Take shots. Don't take shots.
That's how I express
don't
love.
Don't take shots.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay. So in a distant fourth is the Sonics. Long before David Stern died, the league was dead to me. Okay, so we have the Kraken now. They're in first place. The bitterness will never go away. Okay, and that's I don't want to get into a whole discussion on the Sonics because that is a whole discussion. But you know, I'm a huge Husky fan. We have won a national championship. The NFL is king. Super Bowl. There's nothing really like it. But I'm going to put the Mariners at number one because they haven't even been to a World Series and. The process of going through 162 games and then making it through two or three, four rounds of the playoffs is so daunting that I'm going to give it to the Mariners.
Yeah. Well, I think this town would just, I mean, we felt it last year, right? You all sat with Scott yesterday in person, and the media will meet with Scott. Thank you for the call, Roger. I would never take shots at you. Dry mouth is a very common occurrence.
Is
especially,
it?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact,
we did have a texter here who said Roger just doesn't want any of these things. He just wants the Seahawks to draft a guard.
Can we just draft a guard?
Right? So I don't know what.
I mean, someone who's played guard all of his life, someone who wants to go to the Pro Bowl as a guard, not a go-between, not a hybrid, not a switchover, not a defensive lineman, a guard. I just want a draft, a high-level guard.
And now Roger's saying the same thing about a championship for the Mariners.
Yeah, pretty good stuff, Roger. Thank you for the phone call, as always. Hey, Justin Barnes, I know you're answering phones back there. Quick question for you.
Yep.
Did you guys ever bring, in your old job, ever bring listeners in? You ever have a top five listener list?
A top five listener list?
Top
no.
Five.
What about a top five make-believe listener list?
No.
Okay, just checking.
We had so much fun. And maybe this will be resurrected in time. We'll see. We had a little whiteboard back there and had top five caller board, and these callers would call in. And then the Seahawks were so unbelievably generous and kind and brought them all out to a practice, and then we went to lunch with them. I mean,
it was fun.
We had a lot of regulars. I remember Random Fact Mark and Magnum, and yeah, there were people that called into the show every single day with other characters.
Which show was that?
This is when I worked on The Monkey.
Yeah, The Monkey.
Yeah.
On some of your other shows, where you have the same real callers that called in every day?
Yeah, totally. All of them were real.
All of them were 100% real. Totally real. Right? Totally real. Yep. All the everything that goes down.
Well, Rogers,
and all that
Rogers
real.
Been a good one. He's been top five for years and years and years, and a really good one. And I think he speaks to the audience right there. You know, as he kind of rattled it off with the different teams, but ultimately, I mean, we felt it in that playoff series. Heck, we felt it in weekend series last year, right? When that place was sold out for the weekend. Oh man, baseball just brings out a whole new emotion. Yeah. Football brings out just like this, right? Just this.
Baseball is stress.
Baseball is torture.
Right.
It is stress.
Yeah.
It is just.
It's the best, man.
Goldie was talking about that, you know, his favorite game he ever called, Salk, in all of his years broadcasting was that Yankee game last year that went to extra innings, right, where we got to see
great
the ace. Oh, and Luis Castillo. And we lived and died on every single pitch and play and the Matt Brash double play and just like all of these just torturous, stressful moments. But I think that brings a unity in a way in a stadium and a fan base that's a little different.
Yeah.
I mean, football's passion. Football is just rage at times. Football is all of that. And that certainly is galvanizing. But as Roger said, 162 game season, playoff series, wild card, playoff series, world series. Woo!
Yeah. It's different. 866-979-3776. Go to Jack in Maple Valley. Good morning, Jack.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So, Conifer, I don't know. I think, you know, the Mariners, you know, being a World Series contender, I think that would probably fall on most people's top list. But I, for selfish reasons, I'd like to see the Huskies win a national championship. That's at the top of my list just because I think the program's moving that direction. We got a little taste of it in the Chris Peterson era. And I just, you know, big fan of the Dogs, so go Dogs. Number three, I would like to see the Sonics come back. Totally miss that, but I think that's just a foregone whenever the NBA expands.
Jack,
yeah.
Do you think it's realistic that the Huskies could win a national title in the next 10 years?
I think they could within the next year. I think they could be right there this next year with the team that they got, the offense coming back, their defense is, you know, got a couple holes, but you never know with the incoming class. They might have some players that could beef that up. But I like their chances this year. I was really hoping they'd make it to the title game and see how far they could go. But I think they were just a few plays away from being in playoff contention this past year.
Well, here's what is going to happen. Thank you, Jack, for the phone call. Here's what is going to happen, Salk. And maybe this is a conversation for another day and another time. And what is more daunting? A daunting challenge to win a World Series, right? To go through an entire regular season, all this playoffs, or to win a college championship in this day and age, if you're not Georgia, if you're not Alabama, if you're not in the SEC, if you play by a different set of financial rules, I think there's probably a question there. I would say this, to Jack's point, to get into the playoff now with it being expanded to 12, it opens the door in different ways.
It does.
There's not going to be just the total exclusivity.
That's true.
of just Georgia and Bama every single year. Will they be in the 12? Absolutely. Did the last recruiting class, and they sign again today. The number of five stars that Georgia and Alabama have, I think those two combined for, I mean, just about all of them.
It just when you see the difference in what those teams at the top are.
Yeah, when you watch TCU to get to a championship game, and you watch them against Georgia, and it was man amongst boys.
It's not even close.
But 12-team playoff creates a different set of opportunities.
And I don't say this to insult. It would be like expecting Tacoma to win the World Series. Like, it just, they're not in the same ballpark as what those teams are playing with, money wise, talent wise, defensive line wise, et cetera. I just, it's hard for me to fathom that any team outside the big power, what is it, 10? How many schools really are in that absolute elite power capability in college football? There's only maybe 10 of them. And I don't think the Huskies are in that. That's not to say they won't.
Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, and the Big Ten. Those three have kind of the resources, the talent, the pool, the recruiting, I think an opportunity there. You mentioned Clemson, Florida State starting to come back. Florida State has done it in the past.
All right.
And not that Florida far State. Past. So maybe there's five.
There's
there.
Five.
You go into the SEC, and you've got Alabama, you've got Georgia, you've got LSU.
Auburn.
Auburn has done it fairly recently. Florida's been there and done
probably
it fairly
five.
Recently. Yeah, probably those five.
Okay. So that gets you to 10.
Five plus three. Yeah. Yep, so we're 10. So the Big 12 was there playing in the title game last year.
Yeah, but they never have a shot in the title game.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I don't care what Oklahoma or TCU does. They're not going to win a title.
Texas and Oklahoma, who are going to go to the SEC, do you put them in that stratosphere? Oklahoma with Lincoln played in the playoff three or four times.
Maybe.
Texas and Oklahoma, you probably do. USC, you probably do.
And that's
Oregon.
Probably where it ends.
Yeah, I mean, you're 12 to 14.
Okay.
But yes, you're not at 130.
But I don't know that, and I don't know if the Huskies are part of that 12 to 13 right now that we're talking about. And that's not a shot. I mean,
their roster next year?
Their
roster next year is going to be right on the verge.
And I think they can win Pac-12 titles. I think they can go to Rose Bowls. Like, I'm not taking shot. I know this sounds like I'm taking a shot. I'm really not. I'm just trying to be realistic about it. That just doesn't sound likely to me. 866-979-3776. Grab Anthony and Renton. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys today?
What's up?
So good to talk to the people.
I like to say it's got to be the Mariners win the World Series. Brock said it already, Almost every major sport that we have in town have already won a title. Even the minor league teams that we have in our state already won titles, especially with the Seattle Seawolves, the first year that they played rugby, they won a title and everything, which is weird, but I think everybody's on it. World Series for the Mariners, probably for the next 2 to 3 years, and we hope that happens,
That's a good point, Anthony. The Storm have obviously won multiple titles. The Sounders have won titles. The Huskies won a national title. The Sonics won a world championship. The Seahawks won a world championship. I think you're right. I think there's a little bit of that desperation, too. And there was a wise old savant who said to me, there's nothing like the first time, Rock. There's nothing like that climb up, when the Red Sox finally did that for 100 years.
Are you making another old joke about me? Is that where we're going today?
No, it was a Progressive commercial.
Oh,
star of it.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Nice of you.
Yep.
I love that keeps coming back.
Do you?
I do.
Oh, $20 for a t-shirt. Come with an oil change.
What was he charging
Feel
last
that?
Night?
You unfold that, Jim.
What did it cost?
Book. Yeah, what did it cost?
I didn't get a book signature. There's book signing.
Did you get his t-shirt?
No.
Oh, you did?
No book signing. My mother-in-law asked me the same thing. She's here. She's like, are you going to bring a book to sign? Like, no. Why would I want his signature?
Did some of the other old timers?
No, way it's too good for any memorabilia. Yeah.
I don't want it. That'd be clutter in my house.
You
I don't
own
want
the book.
I own the book on my Kindle. You want to sign my Kindle? Knock yourself out.
That'd be kind of
so,
cool.
So let me tell you.
I have an autographed Tom Brady football prominently displayed on my bookshelf, and I love it.
Who wants clutter in their house?
I don't. I don't want any of that clutter in my house. So no, there was no signing. He spoke for about an hour and a half.
Heather, get rid of this clutter. I don't want any more clutter.
Now I sound like Tom Moore. I mean, geez, that's a really low blow. That's not right.
Can we take one more caller?
Sure. 866-979-3776. Bart is in Everett. What's up, Bart?
What say you, Bart? Final
hey,
word.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, final word. Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yep.
Number one, I was kind of sad in the poll, which is Sonics. Of course we're going to get him back, but,
it's going to be great getting him back because, you know, it should be announced sometime this year, I would think. And number two, of course, the Huskies, you know, yeah, get a title by ourselves. Don't have to share it with Miami. You know, there was a poll. There was a coaches poll and the AP poll. And luckily we took, in my opinion, I like the AP poll. AP just fine. But I'm glad we got the coaches poll because that was to me, that was the coaches picking out the right team. Associated Press, they can have their articles, but you know, we got the respect of the coaches, and so I would like to see them come back with Michael Penix maturing like he is. I think we got a really good run when they go to that big 12-team format.
12-team playoff. Appreciate it, Bart. Thank you, my man. Thank you for the phone call.
You're just
there.
Cutting off the Huskies guy?
No, I mean,
it sounds like you just didn't want to hear from him anymore.
Well, you fell asleep. I saw you.
The moment he started talking about what the AP did, that was the end for me.
I know, you fell asleep.
If I had been driving in my car, I would have turned off the radio in that moment.
I didn't want our listeners, and Bart in particular, to hear this, which was the thud of your head on the table right there because you were starting
to. And that'll do it for me. Talking about what happened with the AP voting 30 years ago.
It's like when you cut off John Clayton when he was having his coughing episode.
Oh, poor guy.
You saved him.
I was just doing what's best for him.
The next thing, he was going to pass out. Like he was going to fight through that cough.
John, we're going to let you go here just for your own good, for your own health. Get some water.
So what did we sense there? What did we feel? Still Mariners kind of number one?
Well, I mean, I think you could make some judgments and you could put people into some categories about who was looking to see what happened based on age and demographic info. But
there were a few Huskies. There were a few Sonics. But yeah, I think kind of like my poll.
No Seahawks.
No, there was not.
Not
a Seahawk,
one. And I know it's been 10 years, but it's been 10 years, right? Biggest team in town. I mean, like, it's interesting that doesn't have the same level of passion. They finished almost below the Huskies in your yep. list here. I mean, yep. Just to go through Brock's polls with over 20,000 votes, 48% said Mariners, almost 25% said Sonics returning, only 14.5% said Seahawks win a Super Bowl, and 12.5% said Huskies win a title.
Yeah.
12.5% of people are delusional.
Could you say that's in the right order of possibly, like, what's happening first?
It could be. No, I mean, the Sonics are definite to come back. I just don't know when.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking in order of, like, could the Mariners win a World Series before the Seahawks win their next Super Bowl?
They could.
Okay.
But the Seahawks could also win a Super Bowl before the Mariners win the next World Series. Mm-hmm. I think they're neck and neck. Okay. I'm going to put them neck and neck.
That's exciting.
Well, if the Seahawks are going to do it, who's going to be their quarterback? That is the first question they're going to need to answer. And we got a little bit more information on that today. We'll discuss next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.